The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
In Romans chapter 12, after Paul shares about God's grace gifts that he gives to every believer, he then shares what we should do with them. And we're going to find out about 20 admonitions, commands, challenges that he gives. And we're going to look at some of those today. And we pray that you, if you have been born again, that you would look at this list and say, okay, I need to let the Holy Spirit of God indwell me, empower me, and guide me so that I can be who I need to be and do what I need to do. This is Bert Harper, along with Dr. Alex McFarland, and it's our joy to be with you this time each day. And Alex, it's good to be with you always. And I heard you're in Myrtle Beach promoting something about Dr. Gary Chapman. Is that right?
Well, that is true. Thank you for bringing that up, Bert. Yes, we have a speaker series that we're doing called Conversations That Matter. And we've got Dr. Gary Chapman coming up this Sunday night, June 15, 7 p.m. at the Greg Rolls Theater. That's Rowles. But you can just go to my website, which is alexmcfarland.com/conversations. And Dr. Chapman wrote The Five Love Languages, and he's going to be talking about the secrets to a successful marriage and family. And we need that these days. I tell you, there's a lot of things to be encouraged about, but if there's something I pray for, and today is our day of prayer on Exploring the Word, I really pray for God's restoration of the American family. Don't you think that's important? And so Gary Chapman, this Sunday night, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and I just want to give God the glory. A month ago when we had Dinesh D'Souza, people came from 10 states. 10 states they drove to hear one of our Biblical Worldview speaker series. And anyway, again, my website, alexmcfarland.com/conversations. But later on in the show, folks, after we look at Romans 12, we're going to take prayer requests and calls. And I'll just go ahead and give that number, even though we're not going to get to it for a little while. But you might want to write this down. But it's 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. But Bert, right now, Romans 12, you know, yesterday we were reading through Romans 12, and, you know, it said that we're to be kindly affectioned, not slack in living out what God's given us to do, not slothful in our business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And then verse 12 says this, and we can do this even in the hard times if you have the perspective of God's word and God's promises. Verse 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Bert, those three facets of verse 12, to live those things out, takes the Holy Spirit's help to do it, but that would make for a pretty good life, wouldn't it?
It really would. And let me just say, continuing in prayer. In other words, what you're doing, you're praying through. Now, what are you doing? You're praying through in hope and in difficulty, through tribulation. So you continue praying. There's nothing that will take the place of prayer in the believer's life. Absolutely nothing. We need to commune with God. And that communication, I found out reading the Word of God, praying, serving Him. They really strengthen you. And here he says, rejoicing in hope. This is what we can do. We rejoice in the hope. And you say, well, I don't have a lot of hope. Listen, our hope is in Jesus Christ, and he overcame our greatest enemies, sin and death. So if you know him, you should have hope that's in Christ Jesus. Patient in tribulation. Tribulation is a given, Alex. Difficulties is a given. In this fallen world, ever since Adam and Eve sinned, it's been fallenness is part of the world and difficulty that comes along with it.
You mean just because I'm a Christian doesn't mean I'm absolved from all struggles and problems?
Listen, if you want to know the truth, Alex, we probably have more. Now, listen, We live in a fallen world, so it rains on the just and the unjust. And that means the good rain, you know, it happens. We reap the consequences of our choices. We do that no matter if saved or lost. But as a Christian, because I'm a Christian, I'm disciplined when I get off track. And God disciplines me, and God's discipline can be painful, and it's difficult, and it's hard sometimes. And then secondly, he prunes us. You know, it talks about the tree and the grapevine being pruned, so it will do what? Produce more fruit. And God prunes us, and I know enough about pruning a tree, or I know more about tomato vines than I do grapevines, but I know a little bit about it. And when you do that, there's some sap that runs. That if that tomato plant or grapevine could express something, that'd say, oh, that hurts. Well, Alex, so as a believer, I think we need to get ready. We need to expect the difficulties that's going to come our way, but the discipline is good for us. The pruning to so we can bear more fruit is good for us, and it brings God's glory. So, yes, expect difficulty, not just a smooth road, Alex. It's going to be curves and hills, and going to be some difficulties in the way, but we keep on trucking, okay?
Amen. Hey, verse 13 is a recipe to be blessed. I will tell you, verse 13, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. You know, Bert, did you ever have maybe a guest speaker coming through or something, and you and Jan took him to your house to eat? I will tell you some of the, and well, whether it's a guest speaker or not, just fellow believers, some of the best times, some of the most memorable times have been just visiting with God's unique family, this incredible tapestry that is the body of Christ, given to hospitality. And I'll tell you, many times we've been on the receiving end of hospitality, and right many times we've been able to be on the giving end of hospitality. And I love that word, you know, because we get a word from that hospital. Now, a hospital is a place you go to convalesce and get stronger. Hospitality, fellowshipping together, it edifies and blesses and makes you stronger, doesn't it?
It really does, and it's important today. But how important it was in Paul's day? I mean, they didn't have a motel on every corner when you were traveling. And, especially in the Jewish culture, even in that Eastern culture, there's a sense, a greater sense, even in that day, of hospitality, to invite people in to help them. I will tell you this, Jan and I, we had three sons, and the individuals that we had in our home, and sometimes we would take them out to eat somewhere, but showing hospitality, and our sons were involved, it really strengthened their lives. And even this day, we can talk about to them, do you remember when we had this person and we got to talk? Oh, yeah, that was great. And so hospitality brings on you being blessed as much as the person that you're being hospitable to, Alex.
Some of the people listening will know the name Junior Hill.
Oh,
he's
man,
with
yeah.
the Lord now. But let me tell you, in Baptist circles, he was an incredible revivalist. And Angie and I were new in our marriage. We'd only been married, I don't know, 3 or 4 years maybe. And Junior Hill came to the church where I was a youth pastor. And I didn't really know who he was, but the pastor was wise enough to know that he would have a good influence on me, and he did, because I was thinking about becoming an evangelist. And so on two different occasions, Angie and I were put in charge of looking after Junior Hill and picking him up at the airport. We took him out to dinner. We took him to our house, and he prayed over us as a young couple. And then he began to talk to me about the workings of evangelism. And I mean, that's just one of 100 examples I could give, but how blessed we were to show hospitality.
Amen.
And how much we benefited from the times we got to spend with one of God's preeminent leaders.
Alex, I just got to say amen to Junior Hill. We had him in our church, and I got to know him and spend time with him. And what a joy, what a joy. And so this is the relationships. Now, even then, it brings back the greatest memories to you and to me for this man that loved God with all of his heart, was full of joy. Amen. Alex, it goes on, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Mm-hmm. Man, don't you think he should have might have left that one out? That's real hard, Alex.
Well, I'm going to tell you, you know, especially if you're in the right and you've been hurt, to bless, it's not easy. It takes God's grace. Bert, I've always heard it said, be quick to give or receive an olive branch. You know, yeah. And remember Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. I will tell you, there were a couple of Christian leaders I was trying to get reconciled with each other. At least one of the names most people would know, but it didn't work. It was amazing. Pretty famous guys. And I was thinking about this, you know, blessed are the peacemakers. I think the one thing I did in trying to get these two guys, and this, I was not part of this equation, except I was real close with both of these guys, and I was trying to get them to do a little fence mending. And I think the only thing I accomplished, both of them ended up irritated at me. But all I was trying to do was to get them to show a little bit of grace to each other. Anyway, verse 14, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. I don't think that takes a whole lot of explanation.
It does not. Let me see. Persecute means, okay, they are mistreating you, they're harmful to you. Bless and do not curse. Alex, mm-hmm. I think it's straightforward. I think you're right, brother.
Well, and verse 15, rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. Now, to show empathy and mercy, to weep with those who weep, that's not hard to do. But let me say this. There is a thing in Christianity, even godly Christians can be susceptible to envy.
Yeah.
And let me just say, when the other guy gets a big-time blessing, rejoice over that. Don't just be envious. Why did he get blessed? What about me, Lord? No, rejoice with them that rejoice. Because listen, when it's a win for God's people, it's a win for everybody.
It really is, Alex. Good work. I want to share this with you. Hold it just a second.
Yeah.
Being a pastor, and those pastors that are listening today, this verse is really real for us. I've done it several times, gone to the hospital, and in one room, they've just got the word that cancer is real. They have just a short time to live, and you're there weeping with them, crying with them, praying with them. You go down the hallway, and same hallway sometimes, I tell you, and you'd walk in, and they're rejoicing. We just got a clear bill of health. That it was taken care of. We're going to get to go to home today. So you go one thing for another. Those of you that are pastors out there and those of you that have pastors, I just want to tell you, you need to understand and appreciate them, because they go from the depth of the height of rejoicing to the depth of weeping, and it can happen in a matter of minutes. So pray for you, pastor. I'm just getting that word out there, Alex. Hey, we'll be back. And keep that in mind about rejoicing and weeping, Alex. We want to hear that when we come back. Thank you, brother. And keep on listening to Exploring the Word. Will you take a moment and celebrate life with me? Last year, Preborn helped to rescue over 67,000 babies from abortion. Hi, this is Bert Harper, and I want to thank you for your partnership. Think about what you did. 67,000 babies are taking their first breath now because of you. Your $28 sponsored one ultrasound that was given to a woman as she was deciding about the future of her child. Once she saw her precious baby for the first time and heard that sweet heartbeat, her baby's chance at life doubled. But Preborn's mission is not only to rescue babies' lives, but also to lead women to Christ. Last year, Preborn Network clinics saw 8,900 women receive salvation. Your help is crucial to continue their life-saving work.
Don't stop.
Welcome back. Welcome back. You are listening to Exploring the Word now in its 15th year. Alex and Bert, so honored that you're listening. And we're in Romans chapter 12. And hey, this is the day of prayer, too. We pray on Tuesdays, and we would love to join with you in prayer. And, you know, the Bible talks about praying and agreeing together in prayer. So the number in the third segment, if you want to call in with a prayer need, we would love to hear from you, and we'll join with you in prayer. It's 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. You know what, Bert, I was thinking about, like, verses 1 through 8 in Romans 12 is about our body being a living sacrifice, and then we're members of the body of Christ. But really, in a way, 9 through 21, the remainder of this chapter is really, really practical Christian living. You know, it's things that aren't always easy. Definitely take the Holy Spirit to rise to the challenge. You know, being hospitable, forgiving and blessing others, and, you know, showing empathy and care. Verse 16, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits, or really the word there, your own proud notion of yourself. This is really, really good, practical, Christian, just spirit-filled living, isn't it?
It really is, and there's a repeated phrase. You know I'm going to see those, one another. You'll find this in several places going through this chapter, one another. And this one is being the same mind toward one another. We need to appreciate one another. Now, I want to go back to what it says. Notice what it says. Each one of these spiritual gifts is different. Each one of them. Your personality is different. You know, your experiences are different. But in the same mind toward one another, you need to understand, hey, they're not like me. I just want to say something. Praise the Lord. You know, we got one of you. We don't need another one of you. And so we don't need another Bert Harper, and everybody I know say amen to that. But let me just say, same mind toward one another. We need to encourage one another, have the mind of Christ and appreciation. And then it talks about your mind. Notice how verse 16 is concentrating on this. Do not set your mind on high things, but in the New King James, and I think it does it exactly the way it says, associate with the humble. In other words, you need, now notice this, have the same mind toward one another, and then it brings up the idea of humility, Alex. So we need to have that mindset of humility, of not thinking of ourselves more highly than we should. And don't set your mind, okay, I could do that job so much better than them. I could said that so much better. Now, have an attitude of grace and hope, and do not be wise in your own opinion. There it is again. That wise has to do with your mind. Don't think you're something when you're nothing, honestly. And so, Alex, verse 16, really, I think it goes back to Philippians 2. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who did what? Humbled himself. So I think that's what it's the main thought that Paul is trying to get across in this one verse.
Amen. And you know what? Verse 16 about do not mind high things. I mean, it really, it's telling us to treat all people alike and be willing, listen, be willing to hear out the person. You know, you just don't always think, I don't have to talk to him or something like that. Hey, I got to tell you, Bert, you know, we've been blessed to schedule a lot of speakers over the years, like Josh McDowell and Chuck Colson and James Dobson and Norm Geisler and Robbie Zachariah.
Gary Chapman.
Gary Chapman. I think of Johnny Erickson Tata, Ben Carson, a lot of incredible people like Lee Strobel, Erwin Lutzer, many, many, many times. You know what has impressed me about all these men and women of God? Kay Arthur, who just passed away. We would do these events, and a lot of people come to these events, to God be the glory. And I've watched these speakers stand till late, let's say on a Friday night, we wrap up about 9:30 or 9:45, and people wait in line. And, you know, I think about like Dr. Dobson, and people would want to share their stories and be prayed with. And it always touched my heart how those people like Chuck Colson and Erwin Lutzer, they would stay and pray with the very last person. And they'd hear stories I'm sure they've heard 100 times, but they would patiently listen and minister the word, minister prayer. And I just remember thinking, that's how I want to be. I mean, because we are on ministry for God. Anywhere, everywhere, we're on ministry for the Lord, aren't we?
We really are. And listen, Jesus is the one. He had time. You remember the little children? The apostle said he doesn't have time for them. He said, no, don't hinder those little children. Let them come unto me. And then the woman with the issue of blood, she wanted to do it privately, and he stopped. He said, who touched me? That's Jesus. And so when you take time for those, you know, you're not just trying to look at the, okay, what can I get out of this? What does God want me to do? Who does God want me to spend time with? And so, Alex, I think verse 16 sets that pattern well. Now, it says in 17, and I'm not saying it turns a little bit because it's already been talking about persecution, but there's two groups here, those that you are working with, but also those that are working against you. Is that all right to say it that way? Those that you're working with, but there's also the persecution. Here it is. Repay no one evil for evil. Listen, those that are working against you, saying all manner of evil against you, don't repay them, the same sense that they came against you. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. Mm-hmm. And again, I want to read verse 18 because I think it is connected. Remember, when Paul wrote these verses, the numbers were not there. This was just a paragraph that he would write. Men put the numbers there, which were good, so we could identify them and study them and read them together to find them so much better. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Now, here it is. Notice this, repay no one evil for evil, have regard for good things in the sight of all men, and if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with, this, with all those I've been talking about in verse 17. You catch? I'm changing it up, but you see what I'm talking about? I think he's letting us know, hey, there are going to be some people it's going to be hard to get along with, but far as you're concerned, you do your part. Alex, go ahead.
Forgive me, Bert. Did you ever hear that little poem? To live above with those we love, oh, that would be glory. To live below with those we know, well, that's another story.
Yes. Way to go, yes.
Live peaceably with all men. Okay, the word peaceable there is the Greek word Irenaeus. And there was an early Christian leader named Irenaeus. He was actually a defender of the faith. But the word, I looked it up, it really means live in the peace of God with all men. Because you might say, well, live peaceably with everybody. I can't do that. People are hateful. People are disrespectful. People don't forgive. I just can't hardly keep the peace with some people. Yeah, in and of ourselves, we can't. But the wording really means live in the peace of God in your interactions with others. And I think it helps. Just remember, at least this is how I try to do it. Remember, hey, I'm saved. The Son of God gave his life for me. And the Spirit of God indwells me. And do you know, even that person that gets on my nerves, it might just be that God has allowed this in my life to help me grow and to show me something. And even that person that I'm not wild about seeing or hanging out with, I can learn something from them. And maybe God might work through me to minister to them. And keep it. And God is not saying be a doormat, but living in the peace of God in your interactions with others gives it some context and purpose, doesn't it, Bert?
It really does. Now, I want to add something. I know Paul wrote Romans. There is a possibility, and Alex has said before, Hebrews, probably written, but do not know. But listen to Hebrews chapter 12:14 concerning this about living peaceably with all men. Listen to Hebrews 12:14. Pursue peace with all men. Alex,
wow. Yeah.
In other words, you pursue it, a word well spoken at appropriate time.
Amen.
Do the word, do the hard work of pursuing peace. You know, this is it. That's what you try to find something that you maybe you can agree upon, and then, okay, let's see how far we can go on this disagreement. So, Alex, if it is possible, as much as depends on you. In other words, do you think it may be saying pursue this? We might be the first one to go after it and say, well, they should come to me. Why should I go after this? Well, let me just tell you, because God's word says to.
Yeah. And do you remember God came for us? Jesus was in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve had sinned. God was the offended party. And yet he goes, Adam, where are you? And so, yeah, we Christians, we are the ministers of reconciliation there. And verse 19 kind of echoes that. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Okay, it's just human nature to want to avenge ourselves, to vindicate ourselves, to get even. And it says, you know, let God handle it. I mean, really. Now, this, Bert, how does your translation read? Romans 12:19, give place unto wrath. I'm going to tell you what I found in a commentary, but what does yours say?
Yeah, mine says the same thing, give place, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I'll repay, says the Lord.
You know, I went digging on this verse, and I was thinking, oh, it's probably going to say, give place, like put away wrath. And we're not to be angry and vindictive, not in that sense. There is a place for indignation, and I don't mean to fly off in a rage, but I mean, there's a time to have convictions that are a fire in your heart. But what it's really saying is manage your indignation
right.
Appropriately.
That's it. Give the place. I know there's no definite article there.
Right.
But understand to give the place. In other words, wrath, anger, does have a place. Be angry and what?
Sin not.
So yeah. There's a place for this anger, but it's not to absorb us. It's not to try to vengeful get even with us. But have that. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, Alex, we can be angry and sin not. In my natural state, I don't want to say what I want to do, you know? But
you remember that old saying, count to 10 before you speak?
Yes. Bite your lip a lot of times and hold on to your tongue. Don't speak. Yeah. Don't do that. Yeah.
Yeah. All of this comes with the more and more that the Holy Spirit takes control of our lives. Verse 20, now this is really counter-cultural. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Now let me just say this. I think this is a great argument for the divine origin of Scripture. Because, you know, in the ancient world, they understood an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, you know, quid pro quo, get even, get back. And here, the Word of God is saying, here, you want to overcome evil, you want to defeat evil, then it's goodness, righteousness, and love that will do it. It's amazing. Love. And I don't mean just some fuzzy, worldly. I'm talking about love as God defines it, which is to seek the highest good of another. And the Holy Spirit will give you the power to do that. Love is the most powerful force in the universe.
Preach it, brother. I wanted to share something to see if you think this might be true with this. Verse 20 is a quote from Proverbs 25:21 and 22. So here's what Paul does, and to I would say to verify everything that he has said, we know he was inspired by the Holy Spirit. But the people who were receiving this, the Romans in that day, this is okay. This is from the Apostle Paul. We've heard about him. We know about him. He hasn't come to see us yet. So who's he to give us this list of what, how we should respond? I think when he comes to the end of this section here, he says, okay, this is true. So he pours on the word of God to them, Alex. That's already recorded in the book, in the Bible, in Proverbs. You catch what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And this is what we do as preachers. We say, listen, as best I can, this is the response you have. But when you find it directly from the word of God, you put it on it, and it just says, okay, this is it. I think this settles it for Paul and should settle it for the Romans.
Well, and this would have been very countercultural for the Roman, you know, the muscular, you know, at yeah. times vicious Roman culture. If your enemy is hungry, feed him, give him water. In doing so, you'll heap coals of fire on his head. Hey, do you remember the Andy Griffith Show, The Christmas Story with Ben Weaver?
Oh, yes, I do. Yes.
He
favorite,
was
one of my favorites.
The meanest man in Mayberry, but by the end of that episode, his heart had melted because they showed him love.
Amen. Hey, it's the day of prayer. If you've got a prayer request, the number is 888-589-8840, or you can go on Facebook if you want to share that prayer request with us.
Some would say truth is relative, and to the world, that's right. What the world considers to be truth fluctuates depending on the narrative they're trying to promote. Of course, we know truth is found in Scripture, and it never changes. The documentary, The God Who Speaks, proves the Bible's reliability as the source of real truth and reinforces our belief in it as our firm foundation. Watch it anytime at stream.afa.net. That's stream.afa.net.
Don't stop!
Amen. I hope you're a prayer warrior. This is one of the most exciting things we have found out on Exploring the Word is we treat this like a big Bible study, and we say, hey, if you come to a Sunday school or a Bible study, we do Bible study. But we also use a tape prayer request, and we've started doing that, and we've set aside Tuesday. As long as people are doing this, we'll continue to do it. But, Alex, I've got a special prayer request myself, and okay. Father's Day is this Sunday.
Yes.
And I just want to tell you, I really thank God for my father, a godly man, but we want to pray for fathers. It's a difficult task. You know, Mother's Day gets a lot of attention, and it should, but sometimes Father's Day, oh yeah, we need to remember that. But we, on Exploring the Word, all of you who are dads out there, granddads, we're praying for you. Alex, those are important people in God's economy, isn't it? Aren't they?
Well, it really is. And we need to pray for the men out there to be, you know, godly men, the priest of the home. And there's a lot we could say about that. But the number, if you've got a prayer request, we would love for you to share that with us. And it's 888-589-8840. And yes, Bert, thank you. With Father's Day coming, we'll definitely keep that in prayer. And I would ask for prayer also for our youth camps. We start in Iowa next week, and our second of seven summer youth camps, and we appreciate prayer about that. But we're going to begin, if it's all right if we go to the calls, I'm going to begin in my home state of North Carolina, Paige. Paige in North Carolina, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Well, thank you, Alex. Thank you, Bert. I just love your program, and I'm just so blessed to be able to listen and to learn, and I just want to thank you for that.
God bless you.
But I would ask for prayer requests for me. I work with some wicked women, and this morning I got an email from them. I did not respond as I wanted to. I prayed for the Holy Spirit to guide my words, and I was very kind. I then texted my husband because I was a little upset. And I said, I was very kind, even though I was not given a kind response. I said, but one thing that gives me life is that I'm heaping buckets of coal ash on their head. Proverbs 25:22. When I get in the car coming home from work, that's what you're talking about. Proverbs 25:22. So it's like God showed up and told me I did the right thing.
Amen.
But I want prayer so that I continue to be the light in this dark place that I work.
Amen. Bert, you know, thank you, Paige, for sharing that. Sometimes it is hard to be a Christian in the workplace, isn't it?
It really is. And I was raised on the farm, so, man, I worked alongside my dad and my brother and, you know, godly around. That was awesome. But I remember the first time I ever went to, quote, a public job in a factory. And, listen, I found out life wasn't just as like my dad and my brother were. And it is tough out there. And so, Alex, not everybody gets to work at AFA where it's just a great atmosphere. So, Paige, I think that's confirmation. And we're going to pray for you. We're going to also, it says, pray for those that persecute you. So, Alex, let me pray for Paige and those that she works with. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I'm praying for Paige that you would strengthen her. I thank you for her control. The Holy Spirit of God brought her to that and to respond in a way that would please and not a way that would be evil for evil. And I pray you would strengthen her and help her. And I pray that her husband would encourage her as they sometimes, that's what the husband and wife do. They really help one another. But we pray for those women that she is working with, Father. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would use Paige's countenance and her work ethic to demonstrate to them what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, they would be brought under conviction, and then they would turn to you in faith. We're praying this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to go to Louisiana. Debbie in Louisiana, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you so much for taking my call. I just, on my way home from work, and I'm driving along, an older man sitting in a wheelchair on the corner, and he's got a sign up saying, you know, he's hungry and he's homeless. So I stopped and talked to him, and he doesn't have any place to stay, and I gave him something to eat. And I ask him his name, and his name is George. I just want to lift George up, Lord.
Okay. Wow, Debbie. Listen, tender hearts like you, Debbie, thank God for. There's some of us, Fred, would just go on by. We might pray for him, but stopping and giving him food in place of money, wise choice as well, Alex. Go ahead.
Amen. Well, let's pray. Did she say his name was Doug?
George. His name is
George. I'm sorry, George.
Yeah.
And again, that number, if you've got a prayer request, you will have time to get it in. We've got a couple of lines open, 888-589-8840. But let me pray for George. Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up George. You know who this man is, by the side of the road in a wheelchair. And I pray you'll meet his needs physically, spiritually. And I know that you've worked through Debbie to do that. Lord, all around us there's homelessness and there's poverty, and it's caused by a lot of different things. Many times sin and just broken lives and people that need to find their way back to you. So, Holy Spirit of the living God, I pray that you would minister to all the people who do not have a roof over their head. And Lord, feed every hungry mouth. And Lord, build back the family. I know one of the greatest forces to end poverty in the world is marriage and family.
Yes.
And so, Lord, there's a great overlap between spiritual problems and social problems. Lord, we need you. Our nation needs you. We lift up George and all the rest of our nation, and I pray that individually and collectively we would build our lives on you, Jesus. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Alex. Brent, I think we had some prayer requests come over. Would you share those with us, brother?
Yes. One is from email. It's from Julie. Her husband got into some trouble. She's asking for God to cover him and to help him to learn from his mistakes and to give her comfort.
Okay.
Then we've got Jacob from Facebook. He's a new Christian. He's wanting to hear from God. He needs spiritual direction. You know how there's those times when you just don't feel like he's anywhere around, and all of a sudden, you know.
Brent, you sound like you know what that's like.
I know exactly what that's like, Bart Harper.
Well, I want to ask you, can God grant Jacob's prayer?
Absolutely.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Amen.
When you least expect it, too.
Amen. He can. Julie's husband, we don't know everything, except in trouble and difficulty and wanting him to respond correctly from this and Jacob to grow. Father, we pray for Julie. Thank you for her calling or texting in and letting us know. And I pray, God, that you would be with her husband. I pray, Father, that he would turn to you. I pray he would look to see what he's responsible for and say, okay, God, I need to take responsibility, and that's part of it. Before you can take action, you take responsibility. I pray you'd help him do that and turn to you and be the husband that he needs to be. I pray for Jacob, Father, as he's a new follower of yours, that you would direct his path. May Jacob stay in the Word of God. May he have a church that he worships at and where people will be there to encourage him, challenge him, and help him, Father. We're praying this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We're going to go to Arkansas. Carol in Arkansas, thank you for holding. Welcome to Exploring the Word. Hello, Carol.
Hello.
Yes, you're on now. Yes.
Yes, I'd like to lift up a nephew of mine in prayer. They found a tumor yesterday.
Okay. A nephew?
Yes.
Okay. Can we have his first name, or you'd rather not give it? We're all right either way.
I'd rather not give it.
That's good. That's good. Well, we can take care of that. Like, we like to do that. We just like to know for sure. Alex, a tumor, and man, needs help. I understand that. That's scary.
And while we're praying for people that are facing illnesses, there's a dear, dear man, Ken, an older couple named Ken and Clara. They listened to Exploring the Word, and they had a death in the family yesterday of a very precious Christian lady who's a daughter-in-law of one of their sons. But then Ken himself is in the hospital, very likely at the point of death. And they're believers, but even still, I pray for Ken. But let me pray for this nephew. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for Carol's nephew who has a tumor. Lord, I pray that it would be benign, not malignant. And Lord, that you would heal this person and bring them close to you as you minister to their body, also minister to their soul. And I pray for Ken in North Carolina, who's just in a very bad way. He knows you, and that's a blessing. And they had a daughter-in-law pass, so please minister. Just seems like sometimes when it rains, it pours. But Lord, we know you are with this dear family, and we lift them up to you in Christ's name. Amen.
Alex, let me throw, we're going to get the others, but made me think of it. I can't believe I did not write their names down. Great friends of mine and Jan, Richard and Deborah. Okay. And Richard has pneumonia. Don't know all the things. It seems like there's more to it than just pneumonia. Deborah has neuropathy all over her body, burning all over her body. Mm. So he's a retired pastor, just a great blessing. So pray for Richard and Deborah. Go ahead,
Richard,
Alex.
Yeah. Amen. Vicki in Ohio. Vicki, thank you for holding. You're on.
Thank you so much. I have great respect and an appreciation for all that you guys do. Listen as often as I can. Working in a real woke environment, it's a very great encouragement. I'm calling because I have daughters that are 31 and 33. They moved away from home after high school to go to college and live in California and Texas, and they just have not really walked with the Lord for a long time. And especially my daughter in California, she's really been taken in with the whole pro-choice and liberal agenda. So I'm just really praying. She has some surgery coming up in July, so I just pray that goes successfully, but also that I might be able to visit her in California and just offer support and use that as a reconnection. So I appreciate your prayers. Thank you so much.
Yes, Vicki, thank you for sharing that. And Bert, I think that many a parent could probably echo that concern, couldn't they?
They really could. We got two more we'll get to, but I want to pray for Vicki on this one. Yeah. Father, I'm praying for Vicki. You could hear it in a mother's voice. We as parents, when our children are going away from the direction they should be going, it grips our heart. And I pray, God, that these two daughters, California, Texas, you know right where they are, and sounds like they have a background of knowing you, of knowing about you. I pray that would be driven home in their life through circumstances. Bring individuals in their lives that would let them see clearly the truth of who you are and what you desire and what life is. And, Father, what living the life should be. We're praying for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We're going to go to Brandon in Arkansas. Brandon, thanks for holding. You're on Exploring the Word.
Sir, hey, how are you guys doing?
Good. Thank you for calling.
Yes, sir. I'd just like to lift up my niece, Sky, S-K-Y-E. He's in a relationship. They have a child together, and God's kind of brought some things to the forefront, and she's going to have to make some tough decisions and walk down, you know, maybe somewhat of a tough road. So just like to lift her up today that God would just continue to move in her life and that she would just see it and give him the glory and the honor for it.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen, Brandon. We will. As time fleets away, I'm going to reiterate that prayer request here in a moment, but I want to try to hear from Robert in Louisiana as well. Robert, you're on.
Yes, sir. Thank you, gentlemen. Look, I believe in the power of prayer in every way there is. My wife has been ill, and a plethora of little different illnesses has went on. She now has like a tumor on the side of her neck that she's very concerned about, and we haven't been able to get in. But I just want to pray for her healing. God is so good if he can do that.
Amen. Amen, Robert. Amen. Mm-hmm. Brent, did you have one more?
Yes, I've got one more from Facebook from Trudy. She's asking for prayer for her cousin Ken, who was just diagnosed with cancer, and also a neighbor, Wanda, who's been in the hospital for several months now. She's praying for healing for her.
Mm-hmm. Alex, I've got about a minute. Would you mind closing us out in prayer, brother?
Yes, let's do. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the reality of prayer and how the Bible says that your arm is not shortened that you can't save. Lord, you intervene for the niece, for the wife, for the family members, for all these prayer requests, for those Christians that are working very often in a hostile environment, for those people that are burdened for loved ones who have gone astray. Spirit of the living God, save the lost, revive the saved, restore the family, heal our nation, turn us to you. In Jesus' name we ask it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hear our prayer, O God. We ask you, meet people where they are. Alex, thank you and I'm thankful for a day of prayer like we have. And we appreciate you calling in, saying we want you to pray for us. So again, thank you. Tell someone about Exploring the Word and American Family Radio, but more importantly, tell them about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.